is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
An estimated 67% of Americans play video games on at least one type of device. And last week, game studios rolled out their slate of upcoming games and consoles at E3, one of the largest annual games conferences, which helps set the pace for the nearly $138 billion a year industry. While the newest Halo and Zelda games get all the attention, it's easy to lose sight of the developers who spend thousands of hours actually making these games. For years now, exploitative labor practices at game studios have forced developers to work 100-hour weeks without overtime pay, creating a disgruntled industry that burns out their employees early in their careers. And now these practices have finally led workers in the gaming industry to try to unionize. Alana Samuels is senior economics correspondent at Time Magazine, and she says the most common complaint from developers is about the grueling hours they work during a time they call crunch.
So crunch is something that's very common in the gaming industry. You see it in tech, too. But it's basically the period before a game is released where people are working around the clock to get things finished, to make sure everything's perfect. And unless they're contractors, they don't get paid extra for that time. So it's usually 90 to 100-hour weeks for a lot of weeks in a row where you're just working around the clock. Some people sleep there on the floor on cots, and then you get up and do it again.
Now, what's interesting is that you said this is without pay. Are there other issues that developers are concerned about in addition to this crunch issue?
Well, I think crunch is the big one just because it's becoming so much more common as games have updates and new releases more frequently. But gamers also talk about the number of contractors, so that's people who aren't employees, who just have really unstable lifestyles because they don't know when they're going to get a job, they don't have benefits, and they don't have any, you know, surety that their jobs are going to continue. Gamers also talk about sexism. I think the game industry is about 70% male, so women often feel like they don't have a voice and that they're passed over for promotions. So those are some of the big issues that people are talking about.
Now, it's not like people aren't paying for games, right? Whether they're on their apps or whether they're buying games for their PlayStation or what have you. So why is it that these folks are going without pay or expected to go without pay?
Well, I think it's just been something that's been going on in the game industry for so long that it's really hard to change. And I heard from a lot of people that you're told in the gaming industry, you're lucky to be here. This is people's dream job. So if you don't like it, you can leave. And these companies are, you know, they don't have to pay workers more because people have put up with it so long. Why would they offer to pay for 90-hour weeks when they're currently paying for 40-hour weeks? And a lot of people who work in the industry are pretty young. They're just getting their start and they don't really want to say, hey, this isn't right. You know, I can't live like this for much longer.
And why is there so much pressure to get games out at a certain date?
Well, so it used to be the date. Now it's more just that there are all these updates. So game companies really want players to fall in love with a game and just spend all their time on one game, spend a lot of money on that game, buying, you know, grenades and extra special packs. And so rather than just releasing one game a year, they're releasing updates all the time. And a lot of these companies are talking about cloud gaming. And that's kind of, imagine a game being streaming, so available like a Netflix show instead of having to download it, which means it can be updated constantly, which some analysts say is going to actually create more crunch because companies just want players to really keep coming back to the game saying, oh, look at this new feature, spending money on it. And that's where they're hoping to make a lot of their money.
So looks like what you're reporting on is that a lot of these folks have had enough and want to form a union. Where does that stand?
Well, so it's interesting because the union is very separated. There are all these different branches across the country, and they kind of work together on social media, but they're all organizing separately. So in the Bay Area, there are a couple of mid-sized studios where about 10 to 20% of the employees are actually on the bargaining committee trying to get other people to sign up. But, you know, the Game Workers Unite union kind of founders told me they've just kind of given up on the big companies. They really don't think it's going to happen for the big companies. So they're going for the middle companies. So it's really depends on the city and the state across the country. There's definitely a lot of talk about it on social media, and a lot of people are interested. Whether that will go to a union vote or not, That's a little unclear right now.
And have the major studios responded to any of the complaints? Have they offered I would imagine they're not in favor of unionization. So have they offered any olive branches to entice workers not to try to unionize?
No, they haven't really spoken of it directly. You know, it's this whole unionization thing started or really gained traction last year during this industry conference where there was this panel where the industry was basically saying, here's why you shouldn't unionize. And it was all these panelists saying why unions would be bad. And that got people really mad, kind of poked the hornet's nest. And that got people really interested in the union. So I think they've perhaps learned their lesson that not saying anything about this is probably their best way to go.
And what happens if the unions are not able to move forward and these labor practices aren't going checked? I mean, what happens to the industry? Does it just continue to burn people out like this?
Yeah, what you have is people who aren't going to stay for very long. And so you lose a lot of expertise in the industry. And that's hard for companies. You know, recruiting talent, especially right now when the economy is pretty strong, the unemployment rate is low, recruiting talent is really hard. And so if you're driving people out with bad working conditions, it's expensive to recruit new people. You know, on the other hand, the International Game Developers Association had a report in 2004. It said, many developers are fed up with the crunch cycle and they're going to leave the industry. We can ill afford to lose them. They said the exact same thing in 2017. So, you know, the industry is saying it's worried about people losing interest or kind of getting fed up. But so far, it really hasn't done anything to change working conditions. And I think that's why workers are really starting to get organized now.
Alana Samuels is senior economics correspondent at Time Magazine. Alana, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.